Ever since I was a child, people said my family was cursed. Mom tried to protect us with God. Pop tried to protect us with wrestling. He said if we were the toughest, the strongest, nothing could ever hurt us. I believed him. We all did.
Come with me, and you'll see a delightful movie with the GBW.
It's a good, the bad, the watchable. I guess we're just right into it.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, that was
awesome.
Let's
just go right. That was Nick Boyle doing his best Timothée Chalamet, Gene Wilder impression. Thank you, Boyle. I wish everyone could see the outfit. He has a three-piece suit on and a top hat. It's incredible.
Mark and Sisto, Converse shoes.
And Converse shoes. Mark Sisto as well in his velour tracksuit. Look, I'm colorblind, but are those Packers colors?
It's green and yellow, baby.
Oh, playoff time.
That's right. We're back.
Playoff Mark is back.
Pack is back.
I can't believe you made the playoffs.
I can't believe it either. Yeah, really, really didn't look like it was going to happen. Honestly, I you know how they say no, like moral victories or whatever and all that. I am completely satisfied with this season already. It's a rebuilding year. They made the playoffs. That's a win.
Yeah.
You guys, though, on the other end of the football stick here, you guys, bad day.
Hurt. I mean, look.
Sad day.
2 years bad ago, day. Two bad years day. Ago, we the Patriots were rebuilding and made the playoffs. And they went to Buffalo and they got creamed. And I thought, you know what, though? Future's bright. And as it turns out, the future was not bright. Everything is sad. I'm sad. I'm going to miss Bill Belichick. I'm sad. Official statement, I'm sad. I'm very sad.
I just love that, how you just said that.
I'm sad.
I hear you.
Yeah. Jersey Jerry, it's a sad day. It's a bad day.
It's a bad. It's a sad day. It's a bad day.
that was good, bro.
it's a bad day. I got, but I'm more sad about the movies I haven't seen from 2023 yet, like Anatomy of a Fall, Past Lives, other movies that I'm blanking right now. But we did see two movies that we're going to talk about today, Iron Claw and Wonka, because our guy Boyle did as he was supposed to do, which was be our Wonka correspondent, because I know I wasn't going to see it. I don't know about you, Mark. So Boyle will have a review for us for that. Our news topic was open to Golden Globes discussion. Did anyone in this group watch?
Nope.
I saw some highlights, but I did not. I didn't watch it.
I can't even say that I watched any highlights at all. I'm like thinking about it. I didn't.
Well, excuse me. I misspoke. I watched clips. They were not really highlights. The leading story being comedian Joe Coy just absolutely bombing. Just in all, by all accounts, it's like the internet united for one cause. This guy stinks. It was just bad, to be honest. I know it's not a very serious award show. It's supposed to be kind of like the fun one, but like, I mean, his jokes were just kind of, it was awkwardly bad for people
I can't watch it. I'm not into cringe or comedians bombing. Like, so I have refused to watch the Golden Globes for that reason. And I haven't, I know presenters do their bits too, but I haven't even seen that. Did either of you guys see the John Mulaney monologue for the Governor Awards at the Academy?
No.
Definitely worth checking out. It's fun. It's 13 minutes. John Mulaney, who has hosted award shows for the Independent Spirit Awards before with Nick Kroll in the past. This is just him on his own. Very funny. That's the way a comedian hosts a movie or TV award show. Like, be self-deprecating, make jokes that are lighthearted, and understand your audience. So that's my Rojas recommendation right there. The only thing I wanted to talk about was if there were any big surprises. I know really the Golden Globes aren't a massive indicator for the Oscars, but Boyle,
I really? Genuinely didn't even look at the winners. I know you just sent it to us, but I've almost just gotten to the point where, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like, I agree. I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like it matters in the scene. Like, I'd honestly, I'd rather watch the SAG Awards and have that be broadcasted, like, on cable or something, because or streaming, whatever. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I feel like you turned me off of that a couple years ago. And then with the amount of years we've done our, you know, classic Oscar stuff with DR, Dual Redundancy, shout out to them. Ever since we've been doing it with them, I just, and the stats, you know, Dave, the stats guy, like, it's like, it never matters. Like, it really doesn't. I did see the clip of, oh my God, what's his name winning and saying like, suck it, Pedro. That was hilarious. And then, like, but that's it. I honestly haven't even seen clips of it. Oh, and then the Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig little, like, intro they did. That was funny. And then Paul, I did see Paul win. I could see Paul winning. That was cool. Giamatti.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I just, you're very.
I'm always nervous I'm going to say a celebrity's name wrong on this podcast. Like, every time I butcher him.
Here's the thing. Look. Mark and I know you're friends with Paul Giamatti. That's your good pal, Paul. But not everyone knows who you're talking about.
Close personal friend.
You might have been talking about Paul Newman.
I do that all the time. You're right. I do that all the time.
Mark, any other thoughts on the Golden Globes? Or can we kind of...
You know, it's just a throwaway to me. The thing with the Golden Globes is that everyone gets drunk. Everyone has a good time. And then this year, it just seems like a bad time was had by all. I mean, there's not really much to cover, except how historically bad the host was.
Yeah, that,
it's kind of a good thing when, you know, you can really unite the people. When, you know, in today's day and age, whether it be politically or what have you, we've got a lot of division in this country. So I'm glad that we could all unite to say that this guy stinks. So thank you for your service.
All right. Thank you to Joe Coy from Good Bad Watchable. We're not going to clarify why we're saying thank you, but thank you.
I'll tweet at him right now.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Thank thanks. You, sir.
Good work. Someone liked it. No. The Iron Claw, 2023 movie. We saw it. Directed by Sean Durkin. Starring Zac Efron. A few other people that you might recognize from things like Jeremy Allen White, Harris Dickinson, Holt McElhaney. Maura Tierney, Lily James, our gal. The true story of the inseparable...
We love Lily James.
We do love Lily. This is a Lily James podcast. The true story of the inseparable Von Erich brothers who made history in the intensely competitive world of professional wrestling in the early 1980s. Through tragedy and triumph, under the shadow of their domineering father and coach, the brothers seek larger-than-life immortality on the biggest stage in sports. All right, this was A24's... prestige movie, I think, along with Past Lives for this year. I either they didn't release it to have small screenings for Academy voters and voters of other award shows in time, but this movie is not getting a lot of love from award shows and boards. And we're going to talk about it now, whether or not it deserves any, but just something to keep in mind when you're trying to pick and choose what award movies you want to see this January and February. But The Iron Claw, we saw it together. Let's start with Boyle. Boyle, what'd you think of The Iron Claw?
I mean, I didn't know much about the story besides just a little brief preview that Mark kind of gave me. And I think it was executed well, the story. Like, the movie itself, I think, was executed well. Weren't really too much. Maybe there were, I guess, a couple scenes a little draggy. They probably could have trimmed up a little bit, but it was a tough movie to watch. It's sad, you know. And again, I think Zac Efron had a great performance. I think honestly, everyone really had a good performance. Jeremy Allen White had a good performance. Harris Dickinson had a good performance. Holt McElhaney, like, he has such a good performance at hating him. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that says a lot about him too. Like, you know, he just did a good job of being somebody you don't like. Lily James, nice surprise. Nick Rojas, we looked over at each other and we were both like, oh, Lily. Like, we just always got a soft spot for her in the movies. So that was a great surprise.
And yeah, overall, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it could be, but it wasn't stellar and mind blowing. And I'll kind of pass it off to whoever wants to take the reign next. Because I think I would do better bouncing off of somebody with points, but that's my initial.
Tag me.
Tag, Mark.
Woo! Hot tag. You know, as the resident wrestling expert for the pod, I came in with a substantial amount of background info. So I'm going to say I went into this a little too excited. Just because I knew the tragedy that is the the Von Erich family. And I'm with Boyle too. The performance is great, except I disagree with our close friend Boyle with how the story was told. I didn't really like it in the sense that they packed a lot of sadness into that runtime. And I think it's better if you have sort of a roller coaster where you kind of have a break from the sadness, like, you know, kind of come back up before you get back down. And it kind of just felt mostly just down. And it was kind of emotionally taxing. I'm just like, ah.
But isn't that the story?
The story is like, it's really sad, but it's kind of like it was like almost a little like kind of like too much. Like you get the tragedy behind it, I guess. But when you're watching like a movie, it could be a little much, like kind of. So I guess the way that it was structured just kind of got a little strenuous for me, I guess. And I will say I liked the movie. I liked it a lot. I thought the production was great, and the cinematography was great, and the performances were great. But it was just missing something for me where, you know, I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. And I'm going to lead into my biggest complaint by far. It made me mad. I almost wanted to, like, quit the movie. Ric Flair. It was so bad.
It was.
That, like, I'm sure that there's, I'm certain that there had to be like copyright infringements or something where, like, you know, there had to be something where they just told this guy, like, yeah, you can't go full Flair, like, you can't do it, because there's no excuse for a trained professional actor not to nail like the Ric Flair character for this movie. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like took me out of the movie for a bit. And I was even like towards the end, and I was just like, all right, wrap this up. Like, I'm good. So again, it's like there's so much good, but still just not quite there, I guess, for me. Like, a lot to like, but then my complaints are just like, you know, it's missing something.
I hear you. I feel the exact same way. And it's hard to put your finger on it, you know? And
yeah,
I agree with both you guys. It's just hard to put your finger on it because there are so many good ingredients and qualities to this movie. I really love the cinematography and Zac Efron. Those are the two things when I think about this movie, I think about the most. Physically, Zac Efron's transformation, incredible. His acting was probably the best I've seen him act in a movie, you know, in a drama in a while. I think he's great in Neighbors, honestly. That's a comedy, yeah. And looking for something else. But it's just something, the way the story laid out, where it just didn't hook me into emotionally getting attached to them. And there are some great shots in this movie, like the without giving it away, like there's a certain river scene with Jeremy Allen White that you're like, man, in another movie, maybe I'm shedding a lot of tears. And I know a lot of people are crying at this movie. And I'm not taking anything away from them, but there's just something at the end of this movie that, and I don't know, you know, if you're doing an experiment for this, is it people who know about the story ahead of time that are crying? Is it people that don't know the story ahead of time are crying? Like, are people that know the story enjoying the movie more than people who, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm someone who never knew the story ahead of time. And I just didn't have that emotional grip. But I thought, like I said, cinematography looked good. Like, the music, the montages in the movie. When I think back to the movie, I'm like, man, there's some good parts of this movie. But just sitting there, I can tell you, and the guys here, I know felt the exact same way. We kind of looked at each other at the end, kind of like, all right, that was it. And for me, it can't fall below a 6 out of 10 for me, because I just think there's too many good parts to it, but that's my rating. I mean,
dude, I totally get that.
Right.
I totally get that. And to be honest, like, I did shed a tear at that scene. I know exactly what scene you're talking about, just because I'm an emotional guy, though. Like, we know that, and we know that that's the type of how I am in movies and things I like. But in terms of that, there was just something that fell flat. I honestly also felt, and your opinions on this, but I felt that I felt the budget. I felt like I was in the same very generic places, especially the ring. Like, you kind of could tell it was just some, which makes sense how they did it, but just something about the movie just didn't feel up and over the top. I don't know what it was. It was a lot of acting, that is for sure. But just something about it, there was no wanderlust. There was no, like, amazingness that came out of it, you know? I don't know. Again, I think Mark's part of, like, all of it being very gloomy from basically midpoint on. Like, even with any championship won, you weren't happy. Like, you were like, whatever. Like, who's next? What's next, you know? The only thing that maybe picked you up on your way out was just seeing the credits. And the one positive thing that did come out of it, like, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I
guess
that.
I don't know what else I would have expected coming out of this either. There is that.
It's probably the best version of this movie that you can do with the amount of money they had to spend with what they were trying to get across.
And that's why I agree with you that I think 6 out of 10 is not only the lowest I can go, but the highest I can go. It's literally, like, right in there. Like, that's where it belongs, because it has some good things about it, but it does, you know. It doesn't deserve less than that, but it definitely doesn't deserve anything more. I mean, it could teeter maybe towards a 5, but I don't know. Actually, maybe I gave it a 5. Did I log it? I might have done a hot log. Let's see. Mark, what do you think?
Instant log. Mark, you got a score for us?
I've been actually thinking about the score for a long time since we watched it. And I was going to be a little more harsh right after we saw it, but as time's gone on, you know, I got a little more respect for it, and I'm going to give this a very respectable 7. And I know it's going to disappoint a lot of people. A lot of people love this movie, especially wrestling fans. Just missing something for me. 7.
I also think we see a lot of movies, and that can factor in this situation where we're at the time where amazing Oscar movies are coming out, all that stuff's going on. So, like, it kind of fell a little flat compared to what I considered before this movie came out. Nikki brought this up when we first started the pod. Like, I thought this was going to possibly get nominations. And, like, I thought I was expecting a blowout of, like, a great performance by all story, everything. And I felt it was mediocre, and I don't see it getting noms. That's just me personally. So maybe some things here or there. I don't know. You're usually better with the technical stuff, but I don't really think anyone's maybe a supporting actor for somebody nom, but or actress. I don't know.
Well, who would you nominate for supporting from the movie?
I'd probably nominate. Hold on. Let me just. I don't want to mess up his name. Brian Harris Dickinson.
No one's nominated for SAG.
Yeah. Who is?
No, I'm saying no one's nominated for SAG. Like,
oh yeah, I would say if anyone, maybe Harris, but because Zach's like the lead. Because I was gonna say I could see Zach getting a nom. Out of everyone, he's the one I could see getting a nom. Second place would probably be Harris or Holt, but Harris Dickinson or Holt McKim. But I don't think they're possible. I think there's way too many other good movies and things out that's going to get a better nod.
Your lead actors or male actors in a leading role that are nominated for SAG this year are Paul Giamatti, Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, Cillian Murphy, and Jeffrey Wright. And by all accounts, American Fiction's a great movie. Haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so I don't see this movie getting any noms.
No. Yeah, I agree.
I don't either.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's and I'm good right. at my 6 out of 10.
Yeah, so 6 for me, 7 for Mark, which I respect, because I think that if he had rated it right after he saw the the oh my god, why am I blanking on nature? But Ric Flair's impression, he might have given it a 1 out of 10. Mark, I could feel it, the energy in the theater just shifting when that moment happened.
Totally.
Right? Like everyone just like, what is this? Like this.
I was waiting for him to break into it and he just didn't. And I was like, okay. But that's not realistic.
Yeah, just disappointing.
It would be like if someone was doing like a movie and Gronk was a side character and instead of spiking the ball, he just took the ball and he just planted it on the ground.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, that's what you're doing with it? All right. Well, the Iron Claw.
Home watchable, probably.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, man.
We should start doing that for these main movies. Like, we should just all kind of like.
It's like we always say, like, wait, you don't have to go see this in theaters. It's now January. We're recording this January 11th. It's been out for like 3 weeks.
You need to watch this and then watch a comedy after. Like, I mean.
That too.
You need to pick me up.
Yeah, definitely.
And don't waste like a good movie night on it. Like, then there's that, right? It's like, this is like a rainy Sunday. You need to throw something on. Throw it on, but make sure you're doing something great after or you're watching a comedy after.
Well, if you're watching this next movie afterwards, I think you'll be feeling a lot better. Wonka, Boyle saw it, everyone, and he reviewed it on Letterboxd. Go check his review out. Directed by Paul King. Willy Wonka, chock full of ideas and determined to change the world one delectable bite at a time, is proof that the best things in life begin with a dream. And if you're lucky enough to meet Willy Wonka, anything is possible. Again, 2023 release, starring Timothy Chalamet, Callie Lane, Keegan-Michael Key, Hugh Grant, Olivia Colman, Rowan Atkinson.
Dude, stacked cast.
Sally Hawkins. Yeah, Boyle, take it away because we didn't see it. The floor is yours.
Thank you. I'll bring you into a world of imagination. So let me tell you about it. This movie was, as I texted the boys right when I got out, Wonka was a delight. I think that this was something maybe we didn't know we needed. You know, it was a good little family flick. It is joyous. It's charismatic. It's light. And it's like refreshing because really the Wonka we all grew up with was, or I shouldn't say we all, but yes, pretty much us all. You know, it was Gene Wilder. And, you know, he's pretty much in this mood the whole movie. And then Tim Burton comes, right? It was Tim Burton that came out with the one after that, right? With,
with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yep. So then Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out. And that was, again, still like kind of dark and twisted and stuff like that. This is just a refreshing, different take where he is young, ambitious, ready to make the best chocolate and share it with everyone in the world. Like that's all this you want is
from your chocolate maker.
So
delicious.
I think that's why there's such charm in this movie. Timothy Chalamet, I mean, does a fantastic job. It is a musical. I do mention in my write-up that like there's some songs that hit, there's some songs that don't, obviously. But there's a beautiful treat at the end with a throwback to the old one. And I think with the movie itself, overall, it's a joy. It's just simple, light, easy to watch movie that I like how Timothy Chalamet kind of brings it more into like this, like I said, this lighter version, you know, before everything hits the fan for him. But it's just so like kind of showing again, like it's like I said, it's a family movie. So it's like it's showing kids like follow your dreams and all that stuff. Like I wanted to just share this with the world and how, you know, it explains where this whole chocolate dream comes from with his mom and this beautiful story of this candy bar. And like you'll really appreciate. I think that's what I like the most of this movie. My uncle had given me this heads up is the writing. The writing is actually, I think, very well done with how it now, not necessarily what everyone's saying all the time, because I didn't like the villains in the movie. It was like so corny. It would like it took me away from how good other parts were. But I liked the writing because there's just a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Connections, I guess, like to Roald Dahl, I think that's how you say his name, like his original screenplay for Willy Wonka. So there's lines that you can see tied in or they are said, and like even like Hugh Grant's Oompa Loompa, like they didn't go overboard. Honestly, it was very minuscule and I appreciated that. It was like very well done with that manner too. Like I just liked the way this movie was laid out. It went well. This movie, I gave a 7.5 out of 10. I really did enjoy this movie. I thought it was good. And I think people should check it out. I'm not saying run to the theaters for it. It's honestly probably on its way out because it's been out for a little while. But like when it comes home, I really think people should check this out. Let's get my stamp of good.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was one of those things where when I first heard about it, I was like, huh?
I know.
And then I saw that it was for kids, and I was like, oh, it's for kids. Like in the trailer, like I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, people are dunking on this movie. This movie's for kids. So then from there, I was out. I mean, somewhere between there and first finding out about the movie, I found out it was by the guy who did Paddington. I was like, oh, people like Paddington will love this. So it'll probably be.
That's it. It's a dude, it's a classic family hug. You're just going to sit and smile the whole time. And I will say, one of the best things, and this is a spoiler, so skip ahead if you don't want to hear it, but I'm going to spoil it because I know you and Mark will not care.
Yeah.
In the first musical number, okay, it's like right when the movie starts, like literally starts, music number. In the middle of Timothy Chalamet's opening song, he just stops and the camera cuts to like a normal police officer just watching him like dancing in the streets with no music or anything. And I literally had my laugh out loud moment inside the IMAX theater because I was like, thank you. It was so self-aware. You know what I mean? Like that I appreciate. I laughed incredibly hard at that. I honestly kept chuckling like the moment was over. I was like, that was so funny because he looks like an idiot. Like it is so funny because you always think when you watch a musical, like what if somebody just breaks down a song and dance in public? Like, and then he's literally doing it and there's nothing going on behind him. It was such a great moment. So yeah, no, anyways, I just had to include that. That part I thought was very well done.
That's great. I mean, yeah. You know, a lot of, speaking of it, and before we go to good, bad, and watchable, we saw the tweet in the on Twitter between us and Dual Redundancy talking about the people that are upset about Mean Girls being a musical. Yeah. It's so funny to me because I like, you know, if you read about movies, you know that it's a musical. But if you look at the marketing material for this movie, they're doing their damnedest to try to hide the fact that it's musical. And people, I think people like musicals more than they realize, but less people admit that they like them, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because our generation grew up with Disney musicals, like for cartoons.
Yeah.
Generations before us did. You know, but you tell someone it's a musical right up front and they're like, ah, I hate musicals. And I think people probably like musicals more than they realize, but they don't like to be told that going into things, I think. So
there's also two types of musicals. There's the musicals where it's the entire movie like Les Mis, or there's a musical like Wonka where you also talk in between things and then there's songs.
Yeah.
So that is a big distinction. I think a lot of people immediately think Les Mis style. They're singing the whole time. And it's like, no, that's not.
I'm gonna hop in here, Boyle, but I agree with you. But I also think with your second variation of the styles of a musical, then there's two more branches from there. I think there's the musicals that are supposed to be taken seriously, and then the ones that are, you know, pure comedic timing or whatever it is, where it kind of where they acknowledge how ridiculous it is to be singing and dancing in, like, you know, a real life setting. But to go back to like an earlier point too about how they're hiding the fact that it's a musical, I'd be a little upset about that, be annoyed. But at the same time, if it's, you know, as fun as Boyle says it is, like it can be done the right way. So I can see the marketing behind that. Because so many people would say, oh, musical, I'm not going to see it.
I'm out. Right.
Yeah, I'm out. But then if it's like, if they're hiding it and it's only like, you know, part musical, that's not so bad. But if you're like tricked into a Les Mis, I'd be furious.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yes.
And actually,
I agree. Yeah.
Funny enough, I didn't know Wonka wasn't. I didn't know Wonka was going to be a musical until almost like not right before I saw it. But when it came out, I didn't really know. And so I had this whole side conversation with my buddy Steve and Chris, my college buds, that you guys have seen, have talked Sean the show, whatever. So we were having this whole sidebar about this, and that they are aggravated with the fact that, or Steve was specifically, that it's misleading. And that, like, you know, why are we making a Mean Girls musical too? Like, truthfully, like, Mean Girls had, like, what is the
point? But see, that's a thing. A lot of people don't realize that it was adapted to a musical on Broadway for years.
Right.
Like,
no, I know. But then why make a movie on that too? Like, we had a movie, and then we made a musical on the movie, and now we're going to make a movie on the musical that was made. I know. Well, no, I hear you. No,
I know. Always tell people that.
Yeah, I know.
That. Money first.
Yeah.
People need to understand, whenever you think, like, I should question why this thing is being made, money.
Money. And you know what's funny? We're all going to watch it. I'm not saying we're going to the theaters, but at some point in everyone's life that's complaining about it being a musical, they're going to see it. It's inevitable at some point. I guarantee you they see it.
But are we talking about Wonka?
No, Mean Girls. Mean Girls, the musical. That's how the combo started.
Well, I love the Lindsay Lohan Mean Girls, so I'm going to go opening night. Yeah, I'm going to see this movie. I'm going to see the heck out of
Mean Girls for the first time ever over Christmas break. Loved it.
Did he love?
Really? Yeah,
loved it. He's like, never seen it before. It was great. I was like, yeah.
I mean, what's not to love about it?
Yeah, I think it was
hilarious.
If you take yourself back to like 2000.
That's a movie. Yeah, that's one of those movies that you quote far more often than you think you do. And everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yes. Yes, I felt very happy that I could finally make a reference to it around my dad, and he got it. Because I was like, she doesn't even go here. And my dad was like, ah!
like the random line I always use is, immediately! I need all the like junior and senior girls to the gymnasium! Immediately! like a stupid throwaway line that I like, just the principal like pulling a fire alarm because there's too much chaos in high school. It's Tim Meadows, like, yeah. It's hilarious. Like,
so good. I didn't see that movie when it first came out, but I ended up watching it like I think in college, and I was like, oh man, I wish I had saw that as a kid. But great movie, Mean Girls. That conversation, well, no, we stand on topic. It was about Mean Girls.
People forget that Regina George is Rachel McAdams.
People do forget that.
Amazing.
She's great.
Amazing.
I know, yeah.
Because like, she's like, when you think Rachel McAdams, you think like sweetheart, like, you know, beautiful, just amazingly like talented actress. And you just forget that she plays like one of the biggest like high school bully like
of all
girls,
time,
like of all time. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, incredible.
And it's like, what, I mean, what wasn't that her first role, or was there something?
I don't,
but I'm pretty sure like we didn't know her from the Notebook or anything. It was like, that's where she started.
No, I think she was established already by then.
Really?
But I'm going to go to our R&D department. Going to ask Rojas what he thinks about that. But that wasn't her first role. No way.
No,
I think she was established before this, and then like took a fun role for her, because you could. It's one of those movies where you can tell that everybody's having a good time making it.
Absolutely, she was in The Notebook and Mean Girls in the same year, 2004. Think about that.
Now that's range. Like, look, see what I'm talking about?
Quite a year. Now, she was in, dating back to 2000 on IMDb stuff, TV movies, TV series. She was in The Hot Chick as a person named Jessica in 2002. And then she was in like several TV, like things you wouldn't know. These are not things you would know. It is wild to think then that aside from The Hot Chick, Mean Girls and The Notebook are her first movies where she is the top three person billed in the movie.
Wow. I mean, she rocketed onto the scene then, huh? Imagine that. You're
That's what I'm saying.
You're starting off with just an unbelievable serious performance in The Notebook. And at the same time, like, you're Regina George, most notorious.
Mean Girls came out first. like that's the, so basically the Hot Chick, Mean Girls, The Notebook, Wedding Crashers, and then Red Eye was all in a row. Boom, 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 wow. Boom.
Mean Girls. I've seen
a lot of her movies. I'm looking at it now.
I gotta find out.
Let me be the first to say that this is a pro Rachel McAdams podcast.
Yes.
May 2004, Mean Girls, and then The Notebook comes out June 2004.
Oh, I called it, baby!
Bang bang, month to month, right there. I didn't really know what the discussion was, but I just heard Rachel McAdams' filmography, and I was like, yes, on it. I thought she was in stuff before. I mean, she was, but it wasn't like known stuff.
Wow. I've seen a third of her work.
It's awesome. Well, we still are podcasting.
Yeah,
that's right. True. All right.
Bring it back. Watchable. I'm stalling for time so you guys can fill out the thing.
I already have it. I wrote it down. I was going to copy it over, but I had to do my Wonka. So I'll type it in.
Okay.
So I'm ready. How about I'll go and then I'll type after.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I'll give a quick preamble as we stall for time. But since our last episode, which was like December 11th, we recorded or so, I've seen 21 films since then. I did my end of December grind where I just watch all the movies that I can.
Same.
So yeah, but here's the thing. I have mostly bad, so I'm just trying to kind of limit. But anyway, good, bad, watchable. It's time where we review the movies that are good, movies that are bad, and the movies that are just in between, the movies that are just plain watchable. It's good, bad, watchable. We put a minute on the clock. We review them as quick as we can and let them know whether or not to skip them. Let's start off like we always do with Boyle. Boyle, you're good. In 3, 2, 1, go.
First, I saw the Murderville Christmas special. I'd never seen that. That was hilarious. Then I saw Buddy Games, which is a show I had watched based on the movie, and it was fantastic. I highly suggest it. It's just a fun, good, light comedy and a real thing. And I always feel like that's something I would do with both my groups of friends, college and high school. Then Leo, which is the animated film of Adam Sandberg. Oh, my gosh.
Woo.
I was thinking of Adam Sandler and Bill Burr. And it was very refreshing and a lot of fun. I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. That was very good. Family flick, but very funny. A lot of adult humor. And I laughed. It's classic Sandler. And then last but not least, Beverly Hills Cop. First time I've ever seen it. This movie is a hit. I mean, absolute killer. I'm so excited to do this trilogy. But I'm extending it as long as I can because I just want to live in it till the new one comes out in June. So, yeah. Anyways. I'm going to get it done, though. Super love them. Great movies in my goods. Done.
Woo. Nice, Boyle. Well done. Trivian, my friend. All right, Mark. You ready with your good?
I am.
All right. On your
go. 3, 2, 1. I finally saw Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
Wow. Movie of the year 2023. 5 stars. No problem giving it 5 stars. The story was amazing. The cinematography was amazing. Unbelievable that there are still people out there who can have a monster movie and still create a beautiful story, a well-constructed story with characters, with development, with character arcs. It's unbelievable that you could do that in a Godzilla movie, right? Ooh, big monster. Boom. No. This has it all. This has it all. Couldn't recommend it more. Godzilla Minus One. My time.
Happy
Mark, did you see it more than once?
I only saw it once, but Randy saw it like 3 times.
Dude, it was really good. And like now, like you look back at like the other Godzilla movies that we've gone and seen, and I was even thinking like how bad the Godzilla versus Kong 2, how bad that trailer looks now compared to how good Godzilla Minus One was. I was like, I don't even want to see Godzilla versus Kong. I don't. Make Remember, it better. Go
the
back.
The studios think we're dumb. They think we're dumb. And I think we are dumb. But not as dumb as I think we are.
Yeah, they're not wrong. Yeah. But at the same time, like it is possible. Like you don't have to just throw garbage at the wall.
Yeah. Like
the Godzilla movies can be good.
They have the Yes, exactly. They're capable. All right,
Sorry, quick sidebars. Quick sidebar. I was talking to Cookie Rojas about this as well.
Oh.
Monarch on Apple TV Plus. Unbelievably good. I was not expecting it to be this good. It being a TV show, I thought that the budget would be much lower, that they wouldn't feature any of the the Titans or whatever you want to call them. But there's a lot going on in that. They've got some big name actors. They got Kurt Russell, Wyatt Russell. If you have Apple TV Plus and are a Godzilla fan, I'd say it's must watch. It's that good. Very wow. Compelling TV. Like, yeah, I'm like shocked each and every week. It's so good. Highly recommended.
I can't wait to watch Monarch on my Apple Vision Pro that I paid $3,500 for. I'm just kidding. I didn't buy it.
Like, no, you didn't. I don't believe you. You would never.
Not yet. I might. I want one so badly, but not at that price, unfortunately. So I'm not there yet. But I know that they probably will do a financing plan with it, but still, I just don't have a need for it yet. My good. In 3, 2, 1. Okay. I saw Anyone But You in theaters. I was a big fan of it, of Anyone But You. Hey, put a couple in the cool location, make it 90. Nah, this was like a little bit more than 90 minutes, but hey, guess what? You got a rom-com right there. Studios. It's not that hard. Figure it out. Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney, a delight. Gata, awesome in this movie. Natasha Bedingfield, loved it. Anyone But You, highly recommend. That's a fun rom-com. Is it going to win Oscars? No, who cares? All right, Spirited Away. I finally saw it on Max, a Studio Ghibli movie, a Miyazaki film. I had never seen any of this person's works before. I loved it. It was great. I gave it a solid 4 out of 5. I thought it was so enjoyable. Like the little dust mite things and like the little rat and the little fly. Oh, so great. Watch it with my mom and dad. It was fun. We had never seen it before, so it was a fun experience and time. Okay. Well, you're bad, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
I am.
3, 2, 1, go.
First up, I'm going to start with Love Actually. This was bordering watchable, but I just needed more down here. I don't know, man. I felt so removed from that movie. It's one of those all the celebrities all connect in their stories at the end. It was on Netflix for the Christmas holidays, and it's just not as good. I mean, there's other good holiday movies, and I couldn't put that up there. I also watched Missing, which is a Netflix movie. Well, no, it was out in the theaters. It's kind of like
Searching.
It's
a sequel to the movie Searching.
Yes. So it's a sequel to the movie Searching, and also in the same realm of Unfriended. They're all kind of like the same, like you're on the computer the whole time, or they're FaceTiming on the phone, or you only see like video clips or YouTube things, and it's like, or Ring doorbells. There's never actually like cameras filming people like in like a normal movie. So I give props to it with that. But besides that, the movie's just not good. It's not. Searching was really good. This just fell flat for me. And last was Vacation Friends 2. I really did enjoy the first one, even though not many people would. It's just my classic type of movie. But this did not need to be made. Yes, it had a couple laughs in it, but it was not good. Bad. Done.
Fair enough, Boyle.
Heck yeah.
Mark, are you ready?
My turn? Give me a moment. Okay. And 3, 2, 1. I've had the new guy on in like the background when I was doing some of my classwork. And let me tell you, the new guy, I mean, it is like stupid funny, but it's just like such a terrible movie. That is like it's like in on the joke about how bad it is, but it's like still like too much. So it's like can't recommend it to anybody anymore. I don't know if the humor still plays for anybody that it did play, but the new guy. Yeah.
That's an oldie. Sometimes I've been finding those old movies I go back and watch and they're not as funny though, or I just don't find them as funny as I first did. So it's always interesting to see what's going to play out still okay or not.
Not only that, never even heard of this movie before.
You never heard of The New Guy?
I never heard of The New Guy. I know DJ Qualls.
What?
Never heard of it before. How have I never heard of this? It's like you guys, like Mandela Effect here. Like you guys all know about this movie. I have no idea. Like,
how have I not heard of this movie?
How have I not? How's it go again?
How have I not heard of that movie?
I love this show. All right, my bad. In 3, 2, 1, I'm just limiting it to 2 because I saw a ton of Hallmark bad movies for How This Get Made and other bad movies. So I'm sticking to 2 here. 1 is The Price of Glee. I came home. My parents put on this. It's like a 3-part documentary on Glee and the Glee curse and all the bad things that have happened to Glee people. This was the worst made documentary I've seen in quite some time. Just so poorly made. Like the argument is just weak. It's just bad. It's a bad documentary. Like bad, but so trash that it was not even like, oh, it's a trashy. I got to keep watching. Like, we were fast forwarding parts. We were like, this is awful. I gave it a 0.5 star out of 5.
We're fast forwarding parts.
Oh, it was so bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry, God.
Oh, well, I'll finish up. Hold on. And then I also saw Mr. and Mrs. Smith starring Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Yes, that Mr. and Mrs. Smith. This is a bad movie, folks. I don't know how else to say it. I watched it. It was not good. Bad. Did not like it. Really. I did not like it. Time.
So I'm not the Price of Glee documentary. I saw that was coming out. I was a huge Glee fan when we were in high school. Like I always loved it. And I followed all the stories of everything that happened, like every single person that was dying and, you know, everything. And when they came out that this documentary was coming out, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, first of all, it did not need to be made. Secondly, there was a ton of reports about, so you're making a documentary about people dying. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's not a curse. It's just, they went through really hard stuff on set and in drugs and stuff and had bad moments. Like, I'm sorry, but that's, I can't even believe it was a documentary.
Well, it's like I came home and my parents had put this on. So something about it had called out to them, and like they were like 30 minutes in, like, oh, this is bad, but we got to finish it. I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. Bad.
And then Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I loved when it first came out. So I'm surprised you said it's that bad. I'm like, I feel like I need to rewatch that.
I think if you go back,
I liked that movie. Movies,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I liked it.
But Rojas also. You watched it at like double speed.
Okay, so Mark was revealing
that's a ridiculous some movie to watch it two not, times.
Hold on,
I watched it.
Flag on the play, dude.
I watched
flag on the play. You can't be doing this two times the speed stuff.
It wasn't 2x speed. It was 1.5 speed. But the
get
movie
out of
was
town.
Zooming. The movie was zooming through the plot way too quickly. I was like, we are going from scene to scene here.
How fast were those gun scenes and great action scenes?
Yeah.
No,
that's what it's like. Stephen, who was on crack,
guys? It doesn't matter if this was 0.5 speed. This movie could not have ended quick enough. This the dialogue, guys, is so bad.
I completely negate your rating.
No,
I won't even take
it. Well, I'm telling you, this is a bad movie. It's a bad movie. It's not good.
I will say I'm very excited about the remake. That I think is going to be fun. Little Donald Glover. Yeah.
I like the people in front of the camera. I don't know who's behind the camera making this movie. And I
fair.
Yeah. Oh my God. The score is 75-38 bucks over the Celtics.
Yeah, it's not good. That's bad.
Wow.
That's bad. All right. All right. That was my bad. All right. Let's go to Watchable Boil. Are you ready?
I'm ready, my friend.
3, 2, 1, go.
First, I watched Leave the World Behind, which was on Netflix. A lot of very controversial movie talked about right now. You either liked it or don't. I don't feel there's a gray. I like this as a movie watcher. This is our type of movie. The way it ends is a chef's kiss. And I love that stuff. Drop the mic, black screen. That's the way you do it. I love it. Beautifully done. They clone Tyrone. This was suggested from Rojas. I honestly, it was funny.
Well, it
was
I suggested it.
Oh, you suggested too? I'm sorry. I just knew Nick had texted me about it one day personally.
Oh.
So that's why I gave him credit. Sorry. And I really did enjoy this. It was a fun, like, I've been watching a movie almost like right before bed every night, like 8 o'clock. I throw one on. It's perfect. But yeah, so this was my movie night the other night. And it was just fun. It was different. And I liked the sci-fi take and some interesting things around that I wanted to talk about another time. Family Switch on Netflix, Christmas movie with the families all switch bodies and stuff and have to go through the day. It's just a cute little story. It deserves a little credit. You know, check it out. It's a Christmas movie. Kevin Hart, Christmas Rock Headliners documentary that was on Netflix as well. I went in thinking we're also going to get some material in between, but we did not. It's literally just how they came together. They idolize one each other, love each other, how their storylines kind of come together, how they're both really great artists, and kind of how they wanted to bring it. How they should be, how comedians should be doing this more, where they come together and do bigger shows, because that's how like the legends of comedy and stuff had like started it way back when. They all supported each other. So there was some really cool stuff in this documentary, but it was just okay. Done.
All right, nice.
How long?
It was like a minute 40.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say, that you were real close to 2 there,
pal. I think we just got to make it 2 minutes. It's just easier. I watch way too much to do.
I told you I watch 21 movies. I just pick like 2 per category.
I want to hear every bad Hallmark stuff you watch, Nick.
I can't do it. If they want it, they got to go to subscribe to my letterbox. It's free.
Ah. Mark, I don't. I didn't even hesitate. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Done. Nope.
Not gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it.
Mark, I'm not. You're watchable. Asking.
So yeah,
my watchable. Amazing. I'll be quick here. 3, 2, 1. My watchable is actually good. It's Kung Fu Panda and then Kung Fu Panda 2. Great movies.
Yeah.
Total classics. Kind of like forgot about them, and then they were just kind of conveniently on. While I was channel surfing, and wow, what great cinema. Would revisit. Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2, baby. That's it.
Done. Dude, and like the last one's coming out soon, man. So might as well get on the Kung Fu train.
Might as well.
Never seen them. What are they about?
I'm the same thing.
So get this. It's a panda, right?
Okay.
And, He's a kung fu guy.
No.
He gets interested in kung fu.
Well, spoilers. I wish you didn't tell me.
Do you know who the panda is, Ross?
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
Do you know who the panda is? Yeah, I know it's Jack Black. Sorry.
Oh, okay. He just got casted as the Roblox main lead in the new movie when they make that movie. So he's just tearing up the game, man. Love Jack Black.
Him versus Chris Pratt. We already got him in Super Mario Brothers, but they are dominating for voiceover roles. My watchable in 3, 2, 1. I watched a ton of movies for the Rewatchables podcast. So if you've heard any of these movies or have seen these movies and want to know my thoughts, I reviewed them on Letterboxd, but The Last Days of Disco, Deliverance, Under Siege, and Searching for Bobby Fischer. Of those, probably enjoyed Deliverance the most, but it's weird. Like the big scene in that movie takes place like in the middle, kind of, even just a little bit before the middle. Searching for Bobby Fischer is about chess and a kid who plays chess. Okay. Under Siege is just Steven Seagal kicking ass. That was funny. And Last Days of Disco is just people talking in movie. That's it. I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's just people talking. So there you go. Time. Last Days of Disco.
Good.
Yeah. Nice. Good. Great. Wonderful. Boyle, you have your rewatchables. Time for things that you've watched over again?
Yes, sir. I won't really take too much time on them, but I watched Moulin Rouge again, which I do like that movie, and watched it again because I went to the play. So watched that before I went, and that was a good time. And then a ton of Christmas stuff, 8 Crazy Nights, which revisiting wasn't great. I'm just going to say I really was underwhelmed with that movie, not going to lie. Home Alone 2, which I think is just a maturity thing. I think just as a kid, you think it's hilarious, and then you just realize it's not. Home Alone 2. Watch that, and I definitely decided I'm a Home Alone 1 guy. I get 2, but like I like 1. Polar Express, see it every year for my school. Killed it, as always. Always clipping away at those tickets. Elf, I watched while Christmas wrapping. Always a hilarious classic. I can never get over that movie. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Christmas Eve Night. Always do that. Classic. And then I did it, boys. I watched Not Santa Claus 1, not Santa Claus 2, not Santa Claus 3, but all 3. as well as watch the two seasons after that of the Santa Clauses. And I was Santa Claused out. Honestly, that took Christmas right out of my soul. And I will say, meh. The seasons are meh. Santa Claus 1's all-time great. Santa Claus 2 sucks. Santa Claus 3, Martin Short's hilarious. I invented freeze. Like, he's so good. I invented the word chill. He's the best, dude. He kills it. Anything he does. Santa Claus's seasons are weird. I mean, I get why they made it, but like, even the most, like, one of the seasons, I can't remember because they kind of blend together because I watched them together. But like, one of them kind of was like the same thing as Santa Claus 2, and they referenced it. Only thing that movie had going for them was they brought back old stuff, and now Santa Claus has kids, and I don't know, whatever. It's really a waste of time. So I don't know if you guys have rewatchables at all, but then
Course I do. I've got a big rewatchable. Small Soldiers.
Oh, nice!
And Small Soldiers was on, and I was so happy to throw that on, dude.
How was that? Nights. Yeah.
It's when they put military-grade intelligence in kids' toys.
No, I said, how was it? Like, how was it?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an 8 out of 10 for me every time I watch it. Just like, the characters are hilarious. You got Major Chip Hazard is voiced by Tommy Lee Jones. you've got like Kirsten Dunst is in here. Dennis Leary, Phil Hartman. I think this was one of his last roles or something. This is around 1998. David Cross and Jay Moore in it. It's a solid cast. And just the idea is so ridiculous that the movie is hilarious to me. And it's also refreshing, like, because there's not like a ton of CGI. They actually use like the toys and stuff kind of moving around, which is like, it's crazy when you see like the difference with the movies now. It's like, that would have all just been like super like CGI'd or whatever, but they're using practical effects. And it's hilarious. I would recommend circling back to that, boys.
Okay.
If it's convenient.
Justice for Small Soldiers. I remember wanting to see that movie as a kid, and not, I don't know if I wasn't allowed to or what, but it was always like, as a kid when that movie came out, you're like, wait a minute, the toys are the bad guys? Like, it's intriguing. Yeah. It's such an intriguing concept.
And I'll say like this too. There was one time I was on the train coming back from New York to Rhode Island, and I had my headphones in and whatever, but the so-called like good toys, the Gorgonites, like their leader Archer talked about going home to Gorgon, right? So the train, I was taking the not the Acela, but like the scenic train, and looking out into the woods, there was like a dumpster with like spray paint on it, and it just said Gorgon. And I forgot about like my headphones being in and stuff, and I said so loudly in the train that all these heads just like looked at me and said, Gorgon. And I just had all the strangers on the train like look at me like, yo, what? And I was like, sorry. It was so
That's hilarious.
That's so good.
Like all these, it was like an old lady like clutching her pearls, like looked at me like it was speaking in tongues. Just Gorgon.
You know, there's someone else on that train that's just like, yes.
Yeah, like, this guy gets it.
This guy gets it.
That guy gets it.
Yeah, you know what? I may have to revisit it. Directed by Joe Dante. I think he did. Yeah, he did Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I see a lot of similarities. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
It does
make a lot of sense. It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
Oh, good to know. Okay.
Mark's just saying. He's not saying, but he's just saying.
Looks like it's on Paramount Plus, Apple TV, and HBO Max.
Dude, there's never enough time to watch everything I got to watch.
Yeah, I hear you, Boyle. It's like the worst feeling. Right now.
It really does.
I'm turning my attention to the Oscar movies. So
already, there's so much I still got to do.
I know, we got to cram. Well, this is our last episode. Wait. For what?
Oh, TV shows. Boom.
Boyle, go for it.
Then I finished Survivor. I finished Amazing Race. I watched Big Brother Reindeer Games. I finished Squid Games. Watched MasterChef Junior Christmas Games. And I did a lot of that in between the movies. So just throwing that out there.
I've been watching Fargo season 5, and it gets better and better each week.
Oh, you!
If you're not on the Fargo train, get on it.
I just never even got into it with the movie.
The movie is a classic, Boyle. What are you talking about?
I know. I saw it. I don't know. I just like, and then for the shows after, I was just like, what? Like, I don't know. So I just never, you know what it's like? I've always wanted to watch True Detective. Never seen it. Because when True Detective came out, I didn't own
it. You've never seen True Detective?
Nope.
Okay.
Not even the first season?
You just got to watch that one season, Boyle. That's it.
I know.
I think it's 8 episodes.
Everyone says.
Oh,
I know. I committed to the bear. That's what I'm doing right now.
Good.
One thing at a time.
Well, True Detective season 4 is coming out soon, and they're not connected at all. But
no,
one's incredible. I'm watching Sopranos for the first time.
That's awesome.
Boy, what season?
No, I'm on season 1. I am not trying to rush through this.
Oh, you're going real slow.
I'm savoring it. I'm on episode 6. It's great to see the memes now and kind of understand the cadence of how people talk. Yeah, that's all I'll say about that. So, might be able to sneak in another episode this weekend, maybe 2. I don't know. But I want to savor it. I want to enjoy it. But yeah. So we're hoping to have our guys over at Dual Redundancy on for our annual preview draft of the year. It's like a good way to, make it a little bit of a game to see who's going to pick what. But it's also a good chance for us to kind of preview the road ahead. And we've had some fun drafts over the last few years. I think a few of us, during COVID times and whatnot, drafted movies that just didn't come out that year. That was fun, too.
Yep. But, yeah. Can't wait to review the ones we did draft. That's always fun to look back at.
I don't like to look back until it's like we're about to do the episode 2 and I'm afraid to see what I drafted. So that'll be fun. That'll be a fun episode. But and then in terms of stuff that's coming out, we're in February, so it's basically like catch up on the Oscar movies. I think those nominations come out soon. I'm sure there's an actual date for it. I'm sure I could look that up. I'm not going to do that right now.
I think it's mid-February.
No, I'm saying like the nominations, when the nominations come out.
Yeah, I thought it was February.
Oh.
Oh, January. The nominees are named on January 23rd.
Yep.
You called it.
Okay, so we got about 2 weeks for that.
Sunday, March 10th. I'm gonna put that on my phone. This is the Oscars.
Well, I'm gonna be living in East Providence, so maybe we might be able to get the boys back together if it's at all possible. But I would love that. That'd be great. A little live watching of the Oscars. But in terms of movies that are coming out in the next like 2 weeks, I heard The Beekeeper was actually a lot of fun.
That's ridiculous,
I'm excited to see it.
I heard it was like John Wick, but if someone killed John Wick's bees. At the beginning of the movie, I swear to God,
dude, that's hilarious. I think I did see a tweet about that.
Yeah,
I feel like I gotta use my movies on all like the Oscar stuff, though.
I hear you, and I'm with you, and I'm down. So you let me know.
I mean, I do want to. I mean, Mean Girls, that might be one. I don't know.
Why is Soul out again? I'm trying to see Poor Things. It's just so hard to find time.
Me too.
Wait a minute. They're re-releasing Soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Because remember when it came out, it was mid-pandemic, and like they just released it at Disney Plus.
Oh. No one's going to go see that.
Well, they felt bad for, the creators of it, and they wanted to get it out in theaters.
Oh, anyways. Argyle. Argyle comes out next month.
That looks fun.
Yeah,
I love the memes about it. People are saying, "Finally, this is the year we find out who Agent Argyle is."
We should make prop bets.
I have one final thing I want to say for TV shows. I've been watching. I can't believe I didn't actually use the TV portion of this because I never do. Bupkis. I've been watching Bupkis on Peacock. It's the Pete Davidson show about Pete Davidson, starring Joe Pesci and Pete Davidson.
Yep.
I'll just say this. There's an episode where Simon Rex plays this guy named Crispy in Miami, who's a jewelry dealer who keeps referring to things as Crispy, but his name is also Crispy. Hilarious. Hilarious episode. The way the show starts, you're either in on the show or out. It is so vulgar. I can't even repeat any part of it here. It's so vulgar. It's not a show to watch with anybody that you don't feel comfortable watching vulgar stuff with. But it's actually legit funny. I like Pete Davidson. I'm a Pete Davidson guy, so I enjoy it. There's a few fun cameos too, but Simon Rex's episode, crispy. I'll never forget it. Hilarious. So, but yeah. Anybody have any other movie thoughts before we go?
Nope.
All right. So that has been Good, Bad, and Watchable. Another episode. We'll see everybody next time. So for Mark DeSisto, Nick Boyle, I'm Nick Rojas. See everybody. Go to the movies.
Doopity doop.